Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Future of Funeral Service. I'm your host, Robin Heppel, from FuneralFuturist.com. We are continuing our series of pre-convention interviews for the National Funeral Directors Association Convention and Expo that is going to be held in Las Vegas, Nevada, from October 6th to the 10th. Today's guest is Dr. Darcy Sims of Grief, Inc., located in Puyallup, Washington. Darcy, are you there?
I am here this morning. How are you?
Great, thanks, Darcy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Now, Darcy, could you please just provide a little bit of background about yourself and your company for the listeners?
Well, Grief Is Inc. in Puyallup, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle, is an international consulting company helping organizations who deal with grief, death following a loved one. And my background is I'm a bereaved parent. 31 years ago, our own child died of a malignant brain tumor, and 31 years ago, there was no help whatsoever. In fact, we even had to order a casket out of a catalog. And I swore if I survived, and that was a big if, I would do something about that. And eventually, I became a clinical psychologist. I am a grief management specialist, and that's what I do. I work with funeral service. I work with hospices, with hospitals, with disaster teams, trying to help people figure out what to do following the death of someone they love.
And you're doing this, and it's with Tony as well?
Right. Tony is a retired military officer, and when he retired after a 31-year career, I hired him, and he said he would come to work for me if I let him be the CEO. So I had to let him be the CEO.
Okay. But I know you call all the shots. So now when we're in Las Vegas in a couple weeks, you're going to be presenting on what do you do for your families after a funeral.
Right.
And so can you kind of just give a little bit of background about what your presentation is going to be on?
Well, the presentation is about what funeral homes can do after the funeral to continue to serve the families that they have served and also to reach out to the entire community, not just limit their services to the families who have come in the door. And many times we do wonderful stuff for our families, and many funeral homes also continue to provide what we call aftercare or follow-up services. But I also want to suggest that the funeral home could serve the entire community. There are many, many grieving people that do not come to our particular door that we could still help by providing education, information, and support about grieving.
And it, you know, today it's so hard for funeral homes. Back a generation ago, the funeral director or the manager or owner could be involved in the community for working with service clubs or their church or things like that. But today's society, not everyone, even though the funeral director still may be plugged in that manner, not everyone else is. So it's being able to serve the community. Not just one family at a time, but as a group is something that is a great opportunity.
Absolutely. We know that many people in the community are going to come make the phone call to our funeral home to knock on the door. But I also want to suggest that we could go out and reach into that community because there are many, many grieving people. On any given day, 10% of the population is grieving the death of someone they love. We can reach all of them by providing community education programs, by creating a circle of care that surrounds that whole community, giving them information, education, and support. Why not reach everyone? Why wait for someone to pick up the phone and call your funeral home?
Well, Darcy, maybe, since we're kind of leading into the into your presentation, can you maybe explain then what the attendees are going to hear then? And, how, because I'm even wondering, how do we do that?
Well, and that's a good place to start is, what do we do? And maybe even more importantly, why should we do it in the first place? Mm-hmm. What am I talking about? And is there a need for this kind of thing? And there is a need for this kind of service because people don't attend a class ahead of time on how to grieve, or maybe one or two do, and they think, well, I'll do that, and then I will never need it. Most of us don't know what to say to each other. We don't know what to expect through the grieving process, and we certainly have no idea how long this will last. Mm-hmm. So it is a perfect opportunity for funeral service who are experts in grief to help that whole community learn how to be supportive of themselves and each other. So we're going to start out with a little bit about why we should do this. We're going to talk about some practical ideas, some innovative programs, ways to continue to serve the bereaved beyond the funeral. They're going to come away with guidelines, how to get started, how to assess their own program. Does this match your business philosophy? Does this come back to your own state of what we have said we are going to do? You know, what is your mission statement, and how does that reflect? How do I find out how much staff I need? How do I look at revenue streams? These are great ideas, but without the practical aspects, they simply stay in the box as great ideas. So we're going to get very, very practical here, and everyone will walk away with a roadmap and guidelines for how to assess their community, their own funeral home, their staff, their dollars, and what they can do given any amount of dollars, any amount of staff. Mm-hmm. We can do something with very little money, and we can do something with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. No, do you have an example of maybe one thing that that they'll be able to take away?
Well, absolutely. Many times a funeral home will do a memorial service, usually sometime around the winter holidays. Instead of just doing a memorial service for the families that you have served, open that service up to the entire community. Add a half hour of grief information on how to get through the holidays, and then end it with a brief memorial service. That way, families with whom you did not have contact, families you did not serve, but who are still grieving the approaching holidays, can come, receive information, see what kind of a funeral home you are, and go, wow, I didn't know funeral homes did that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
It's short, it's simple, it's easy to come up with.
Well, and you know, some churches do put on, you know, their blue Christmas services. But, you know, not in, in every community, not everyone would feel comfortable at that time going to a church.
Absolutely. And many times they are talking about the religious aspects of it. And while we will include those things in the spirituality piece, we also want to do practical things like, do I have to have everybody over for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do about Christmas presents? Do I have to send cards? And I will also recommend that we don't necessarily do it at the winter holidays, because many other community agencies are doing that. What about some of the other holidays? What about Mother's Day,
mm-hmm.
Father's Day, Valentine's Day, Veterans Day? Let's know that grief occurs all year round, and can we be a caring present there? Another idea might be to create a memorial garden and ask people to come and plant a flower or a small rose bush or a flower bush in your garden in memory of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps we do a family memory project where people can come and make a memory piece. We have scrapbooking classes. We have people who are learning how to make, to preserve photographs, all at the funeral home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds, you know, just all these, you know, the ideas are going off as you're saying, like scrapbooking. You know, it's a big thing right now, and just the being able to facilitate that, that's going to, you know, and they're dealing with memories because they've got all the pictures and things. What a great way for a funeral home to be the facilitator of preserving those memories.
Absolutely, and to show people, and even just to let them know, gosh, if you have a photograph, make a copy of it, put the original in the safety deposit box. The bereaved may not have thought about that, but that's something that we could say. We could have a practical seminar on how to boil water, how to mend the plumbing, how to do things. We have one funeral home that tried support groups. They weren't very successful.
Mm-hmm.
They are next to a cemetery. So on Saturday mornings, they offer a coffee chat and a walk through the cemetery. It has been wildly successful. People come, they walk for an hour, they have a cup of coffee, they walk and talk, they're on their way. And the lady who does this, she said, you know, I thought maybe I'd have 20, 25 people. 200 showed up for the very first walk and talk.
Really?
Absolutely. And she said now it's twice a month. They have an hour-long walk through the cemetery, and people just talk and visit and kind of connect to other people who are grieving that they may not have ever met in the community before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have thought of that one? But what a great idea.
And, you know, for the, you know, it's not some, you know, thousands and thousands of dollar initiative that you need to do. You just need to let people know and you know, donate, you know, your Saturday morning, right?
Absolutely. What it really is going to take is first a commitment to want to do this, and then to literally sit down with your staff and brainstorm who has an interest doing this, who has an extra 5 minutes to do this. I'm not asking people to spend oodles of money or add staff people. What can you do with what you already have? How about a lending library? How about just having some resources available to purchase if you don't want to have a lending library? Make sure your brochures are where everyone can get to them, not just in the funeral home. Start putting those brochures out in the public library. Maybe you work with the public library to have a small section of grief books that on occasion the funeral home, in memory of someone or once a year, donates a new book to the library.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to keep the library yourself. Just make sure that there's one in your community. I mean, there are all kinds of things. You can go as elaborate or as simple as you want. I just want funeral homes to start thinking beyond the funeral. What can you do after the funeral?
Well, that... I don't want to miss the presentation because it looks like there's going to be a ton of ideas there.
Well, and we have lots of fun because the funeral directors, once you get them started, man, they come up with some of the most incredibly innovative programs. And people are going, I never would have thought of them. We have one funeral home who does a seance on Halloween in his old Victorian home, funeral home.
Really?
And everyone, of course, thought, oh, no, how awful. He had 400 people show up the first year.
Yeah, that's not awful.
No, he didn't think it was awful. 400 people came and walked through his funeral home. And he didn't do it for marketing. He just genuinely thought it might be a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people who thought it was fun showed up, but 400 of them thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's those kinds of things. It's maybe having an open house. Mm-hmm. When you're celebrating your 100th anniversary in a community, don't just put a little ad in and saying we've been here 100 years. Open up the funeral home. Have people come. Have them look at the new art you've put on the walls. If you've just put in new carpeting, have them come and walk on the new carpeting. You want people to come and see that a funeral home can be a place of hello, not just the place of goodbye that we think it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Darcy, that just, you know, it sounds great. And what I like, what I'm hearing is that, you know, sometimes what we find is that you know, a funeral director will go to a convention or a presentation and there's all these ideas and it's, you know, their mind's just stuffed of all these things they can they have to take back home and where to start. But it sounds like, you know, you've really drilled down and they're going to be able to you know, some of the things just start right away, just, and as you said, with not a lot of money without needing a lot of extra staff as well.
Absolutely, and they will walk home with a handout packet that literally has a step-by-step guideline so that they can take it and make it what it will work in their community. Because if someone gets an idea and they say, well, that would never work in my community, the idea is still good, so I want to show them how they could make it tailor-made for them. Do you do a little less? Do you do a little more? What do you need? What else can you work with? Who else can you work with in your community? So they literally will be going home with some blueprints and some paperwork that'll help them as a map to get started. And then they create their own direction and their own destination for their families.
Well, Darcy, it sounds like it's going to be just fun-filled and fast-paced, just like all your presentations. So I look forward to it, and I also look forward to seeing you in Vegas.
Well, thank you so much, Robin. I look forward to seeing everyone, too.
Well, that's great. So a thank you to Dr. Darcy Sims of Grief, Inc., who will be presenting What Can You Do for Your Families After the Funeral at the NFDA Convention and Expo in Las Vegas, Nevada, October 6th to the 10th. For more information and registration details, visit www.nfda.org. Check back soon for another NFDA pre-convention interview. On behalf of thefuneralgurus.com, this is Robin Heppel, and remember, embrace the future.